You trained for this life, whether you meant to or not. That truth is hard to ignore, because it explains exactly why you are where you are today. The choices you made, the routines you followed, the habits you repeated, they all added up. If your life feels strong, it's because you trained strength. If your life feels weak, it's because you trained weakness. Training has been happening every single day, whether you paid attention to it or not. The reason this matters is simple. If you built this life through training, you can build a better one the same way. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to keep repeating patterns that leave you frustrated. You can decide today to start training discipline, confidence, and growth. This is not about luck. This is not about waiting for the right time. This is about you taking control and building the life you want on purpose. Chapter 1. Accept that every habit has been training your mind. You trained for this life, whether you realized it or not. Every single action, every repeated thought, every choice you've made has been building the person you are right now. And the truth is, you cannot escape the training. Your habits have been shaping your mind every day, silently, without you even thinking about it. If you wake up late every morning, you're training your mind to delay life. If you scroll your phone for hours, you're training your mind to seek distraction instead of focus. If you keep avoiding hard work, you're training your mind to run from challenge. And if you live on excuses, you're training your mind to believe you are powerless. The way life works is simple. What you do regularly becomes who you are. Habits aren't just actions. They are training sessions for your future. Your habits are rehearsals for your life. And here's the raw truth. You don't get to pause the training. Every single day, whether you feel like it or not, whether you plan it or not, you are in practice. You are becoming sharper or duller, stronger or weaker, more focused or more distracted. There is no middle ground. Think about it. When you choose to eat junk food instead of something healthy, you're not just making a small decision. You're teaching your body what to expect. You're teaching your mind to take the easy way out. When you avoid speaking up in a room because you're scared, you're not just staying silent once. You're reinforcing the belief that your voice doesn't matter. Every time you repeat that, you get better at being quiet, better at hiding, better at convincing yourself you have nothing to add. That's training too. Now, on the other hand, when you decide to take a small step forward, even if it's uncomfortable, even if no one else notices, you're training your mind to act with courage. When you decide to wake up earlier, when you decide to stick to your plan, when you decide to give your best even in the smallest task, you're training your mind to build discipline. These habits accumulate, and before you know it, they form the blueprint of your entire life. Here's what people often miss. Success and failure are not one-time events. They are habits stacked up over time. No one wakes up successful out of nowhere. No one wakes up broken out of nowhere. It's the small, repeated decisions. It's the way you treat your mornings. It's the way you handle problems. It's the way you use your free time. Every bit of it is building you. So the first step is awareness. You need to accept that every habit has been training your mind. You can't hide from this. You can't pretend that what you do daily doesn't matter. If you look at your current situation, your health, your finances, your relationships, your confidence, every bit of it is the result of what you've been practicing. If you've been practicing procrastination, it shows. If you've been practicing laziness, it shows. If you've been practicing self-control, it shows. Life never cheats you. It always gives you the outcome of your training. And this is not to make you feel guilty. This is to wake you up. Because once you accept this truth, you realize something powerful. You can retrain yourself. You can break the cycle of negative habits and build habits that prepare you for the life you want. You don't have to stay the same. You don't have to keep repeating what isn't serving you. But it begins with honesty. Stop telling yourself that your habits don't matter. Stop thinking that one day of skipping discipline doesn't count. Stop pretending that your mind isn't paying attention. Because it is. Your mind records every decision. Your body remembers every routine. Your character is shaped by every choice. Imagine how powerful it is to know that. Imagine what happens when you begin to take each day seriously. You don't need to change your entire life overnight. What you need is to start retraining your mind through the small habits you repeat every day. Because repetition is power, and repetition builds identity. You become what you practice. Think of the habits that dominate your day. Waking up late, that's training. Complaining about your circumstances, that's training. Spending hours on social media, that's training. Now ask yourself, what kind of person are these habits preparing you to become? Are they preparing you for strength, success, discipline, and freedom? Or are they preparing you for weakness, regret, and wasted time? That's the brutal honesty you need to face. Now think of what happens if you shift those habits. Imagine you wake up on time every morning. Imagine you choose to use your first hour for something productive instead of something empty. Imagine you commit to 30 minutes of reading every day. Imagine you decide to keep promises to yourself, even the small ones. These actions may feel small, but they're not. They are training sessions. Each one is rewriting your future. And here's something important. Habits shape your belief in yourself. Every time you follow through on what you said you would do, you strengthen your trust in yourself. Every time you break your word, you weaken it. Confidence doesn't come from motivational quotes. It comes from habits. When you train your mind through discipline, you build confidence because you've proven to yourself that you can rely on your own word. Think about how it feels when you fail to keep a promise to yourself. You feel disappointed, weak, maybe even ashamed. That feeling doesn't come from the task itself. It comes from the training. Your mind is recording, "I don't follow through. I can't trust myself." And the more you repeat that, the more you believe it. But on the other side, when you stick to your habits, when you push through the discomfort, when you do the work even when it's boring or hard, your mind records, "I can count on myself. I do what I say." And that belief becomes unshakable. So, if you want to change your life, start by changing the training. Accept that your current state of mind has been trained by what you've been doing. If you don't like where you are, don't just hope for change. Start retraining your habits. Start retraining your thoughts. Start retraining your actions. This isn't easy. It takes time. It takes consistency. It takes the courage to face yourself without excuses. But if you can do that, if you can accept responsibility for your training, then you can transform your future. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to make massive changes overnight. What you need is consistency. You need to practice new habits until they become automatic. You need to keep going even when you don't feel like it, because that's how you retrain your mind. And once your mind changes, everything else follows. Picture this. You decide to wake up earlier. At first, it feels painful. Your body fights it. Your mind tells you to stay in bed, but you get up anyway. That one choice is training your mind to value discipline over comfort. Then you do it again the next day, and the next. Soon, it's no longer a fight. It's who you are. That's how you win. Or think about choosing to read instead of scrolling. At first, it feels boring. Your mind craves the quick hit of entertainment, but you stay with the book. You read a few pages. The next day, you do it again. And slowly, your mind begins to crave knowledge instead of distraction. That's training. That's the power of small choices stacking up over time. And here's the beauty of it. Once you take control of your habits, you take control of your destiny. You stop being a victim of your own training, and you start becoming the architect of it. You stop saying, "I can't help it, that's just who I am." And you start saying, "This is who I am becoming because this is what I practice every day." So today, I want you to ask yourself a question. What have I been training my mind to become? If the answer doesn't make you proud, then this is your moment to change it. This is your chance to retrain your habits. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. That's the truth. But here's the good news. You can start new training today. You can train for discipline. You can train for courage. You can train for growth. And the person you become will be the result of the training you commit to right now. Take this seriously. Accept the responsibility. Start the new training today. Your future depends on it. Chapter 2. Recognize that your past choices built today's results. Every result you see in your life today is not random. It is the outcome of choices you made along the way. Every decision has been leading you here. Your health, your career, your relationships, your level of confidence, even the way you think about yourself. None of it appeared by accident. The life you are living is the sum of thousands of small and big decisions you've made. The moment you recognize this, you take back your power, because it means if choices created your current reality, new choices can build a different future. When you look at your life right now, you may feel proud in some areas and disappointed in others. If you're in good shape physically, it didn't happen in a week. It was the result of choices, choosing to move, choosing what to eat, choosing when to rest. If you're struggling with your health, that too is the result of choices, neglecting movement, giving in to cravings, ignoring small signs. When you think about your finances, whether you feel secure or stuck, it is because of your choices. Did you choose to save, to learn about money, to invest in yourself? Or did you choose to spend impulsively, avoid responsibility, and delay the hard decisions? Each outcome is connected to a pattern of choices. This truth can be painful to accept because it removes excuses. It forces you to stop blaming luck, circumstances, or other people. But it is also freeing, because if choices built this life, you hold the pen to rewrite it. That's the most empowering realization you can ever have. You are not stuck. You are simply living inside the results of your own decisions. And if you make new ones, you will live inside a different reality. Think back to moments when you stood at a crossroad. You had two options: study or procrastinate, speak up or stay quiet, save money or waste it, push forward or back down. In those moments, it might not have felt important, but choices build momentum. One decision pulls the next, and over time, they add up. One night of procrastination is nothing, but repeating it every night creates a habit. Skipping exercise once is nothing, but skipping it month after month shapes your body. Being careless with money once is nothing, but repeating it again and again empties your future. The power of choice is not in one event, but in repetition. Every person you admire today is standing on a mountain of choices. They trained themselves with discipline. They practiced consistency. They made sacrifices. They weren't born extraordinary. They chose their way there. On the other hand, many people living in regret didn't get there overnight either. They made choices that seemed harmless at the time but added up to wasted potential. Recognizing this is the turning point between staying stuck and moving forward. There is no way to escape the responsibility of choice. Even doing nothing is still a choice. If you don't decide to take care of your health, your body still receives the decision. If you don't decide to work on your dreams, time still moves on. If you don't decide to improve your character, your weaknesses will grow. Ignoring choices doesn't free you, it traps you. Life doesn't pause for indecision. It moves forward with or without you, and your inaction still becomes your result. The important thing is not to drown in regret. Many people, when they first face this truth, beat themselves up for the past. They look back and say, "If only I had done this differently, my life would be better." But regret doesn't rebuild a future. Reflection does. The only use of the past is to learn from it. If you recognize that your choices brought you here, then you know what to stop repeating. That awareness is the first step to change. Regret can either become a weight that keeps you stuck or a teacher that pushes you forward. The choice is yours. If you're not happy with your current results, start with one area of your life. Pick your health, your work, your relationships, or your mindset. Look at the choices you've been making in that area. Write them down. Be brutally honest. If you're not fit, don't say, "I just have bad genetics." Be honest. You chose poor diet, little exercise, or lack of consistency. If your career is stagnant, don't blame the company or the economy first. Look at your decisions. Did you invest in new skills? Did you network? Did you show discipline? When you look at it this way, you stop waiting for life to hand you something new. You understand that your results are directly tied to what you chose to practice. This is how responsibility changes you. Once you accept it, you can't sit back passively anymore. You start becoming intentional. You wake up and realize that the decision you make this morning is shaping your future. If you eat well, you're building health. If you read something valuable, you're building knowledge. If you show up with focus, you're building discipline. Suddenly, life stops being random. Every choice becomes an investment, and you decide what you want your return to be. The biggest trap people fall into is believing small choices don't matter. They say, "It's just one more drink. It's just one missed workout. It's just one wasted evening." But multiply that by months, even years, and the impact is massive. Your current results are the evidence. Every single small choice carried weight, and together they shaped your reality. On the flip side, don't underestimate how powerful one good choice can be when repeated. Reading for 10 minutes a day doesn't feel life-changing in the moment, but keep at it, and your knowledge will transform. Saving a small amount of money may not feel exciting at first, but compounded over years, it builds stability. Small steps repeated consistently build extraordinary results. Look closely at your daily routine. Because your routine is nothing more than a chain of choices. The time you wake up, what you eat for breakfast, how you start your work, how you handle distractions, how you treat people around you, all of these are choices, and they are creating your reality. When you recognize this, you stop underestimating the importance of daily life. You realize that the big results you want are hidden inside the small daily decisions you've been ignoring. If your past choices built today's results, then your present choices are building tomorrow's results. That means right now you are shaping your future. You don't need to wait for next month or next year. Every single action you take today is writing the story you will live in later, and the sooner you own this, the sooner you stop wasting time. There's something powerful about making choices with awareness. When you know that each decision matters, you stop moving on autopilot. You become deliberate. Instead of grabbing fast food mindlessly, you think, "Is this feeding the health I want?" Instead of staying up all night, you ask, "Is this supporting the energy I need tomorrow?" Instead of ignoring a chance to learn, you ask, "Is this choice shaping me into the person I want to become?" This awareness rewires how you live. It makes you intentional. And once you start making intentional choices, life begins to shift. It doesn't change overnight, but momentum builds. You notice your body feels stronger, your energy is higher, your mind is sharper, your confidence grows. People around you notice as well. Opportunities begin to appear, not because of luck, but because your choices align you with them. You become the kind of person who attracts better results. The lesson is simple but powerful. Recognize the connection between choice and result. Stop separating them. Stop believing that what you do today is unrelated to tomorrow. Life is cause and effect. If you want to change the effect, you must change the cause. That's how you take control. When you face your results, don't run from them. Accept them as evidence of your choices. If you see success, celebrate it because it proves you chose well. If you see failure, don't deny it. Face it, learn from it, and commit to different choices. What matters is not where you've been, but what you choose next. Remember, you trained for this life, whether you meant to or not. Every choice has been your training. Every choice has been building you. And starting now, you can choose the training that prepares you for the life you truly want. Don't waste this awareness. Don't waste this moment. Begin today, because the choices you make right now are already shaping the results you will face tomorrow.
Chapter 3. Stop lying to yourself about why you feel stuck. You feel stuck not because life is against you, but because you've been lying to yourself about why things haven't changed. The truth is, people often tell themselves stories that sound reasonable, but are quietly destroying their progress. They say, "I don't have the time," when the reality is they waste hours on things that add nothing to their life. They say, "I don't have the resources," but they spend money and energy on distractions instead of investing in growth. They say, "I don't know where to start," but deep down they know at least one step they could take right now. These lies feel safe. They protect your ego from discomfort, but they also lock you in the same spot year after year. The first step to breaking free is honesty. Brutal, uncomfortable, face-to-face honesty with yourself. You need to call out the excuses you've been hiding behind. When you look in the mirror and tell yourself you can't change because of your background, or because of what people think, or because of bad luck, you're not being truthful. You're using those reasons to avoid responsibility, and as long as you do that, you'll stay stuck. Ask yourself, what is the real reason I'm not moving forward? Is it fear of failing? Is it laziness disguised as waiting for the right time? Is it the unwillingness to sacrifice comfort? Because comfort is the biggest lie of all. Comfort whispers, "You're fine the way you are, no need to push harder." And if you believe that, you remain where you are. Progress requires discomfort. It requires sacrifice. It requires facing the truth that you've been holding yourself back. People often create clever explanations for why they haven't succeeded. They blame their upbringing, their environment, the economy, or other people, but blaming keeps you powerless. When you put responsibility on someone else, you also hand them control of your life. As long as it's their fault, you can't fix it. That's why honesty is so powerful. The moment you stop lying to yourself, you take back control. You admit, "I am where I am because of my choices, my habits, my decisions," and that admission, as heavy as it feels, is the doorway to change. Think about how often people hide behind the phrase, "I'll start tomorrow." Tomorrow becomes the perfect shield. It keeps you from acting today while giving you the illusion that you're serious about change. But the truth is, tomorrow is just another lie. Tomorrow is a trick your mind plays to keep you comfortable today. And when tomorrow comes, the same lie repeats. That's how people waste years of their life, believing their own story about tomorrow. You also lie to yourself when you underestimate your own power. You tell yourself you're not capable, not smart enough, not disciplined enough. But you've never actually given yourself the chance to prove otherwise. You decide in advance that you can't do it, so you never try. This lie becomes your identity. And once you start believing it, you act as if it's true. You don't apply for opportunities. You don't challenge yourself. You don't aim higher. You stay small, not because you have to, but because you've convinced yourself that you must. Another common lie is pretending that your situation will improve on its own. You hope that one day, you'll wake up motivated. You hope someone will notice your potential. You hope a lucky break will appear, but hoping is not the same as acting. Waiting for luck is just another way of saying, I don't want to do the work. That lie is comfortable, because it removes the burden of effort. But the cost is high. Your life stays exactly the same. If you want to stop feeling stuck, you need to drag these lies into the light. Write them down. Ask yourself, what story do I keep telling myself about why I'm not where I want to be? It might sting to see the truth, but once you recognize the lie, you strip it of its power. You can't fight what you refuse to see. Honesty has a strange way of setting you free. When you stop saying I don't have time, and instead admit I've been wasting time, now you can change it. When you stop saying I don't know how, and admit I haven't tried to learn, now you can start learning. When you stop saying I'm unlucky, and admit I haven't created opportunities, now you can take action. The lie keeps you powerless. The truth makes you responsible, and responsibility makes you strong. Take a close look at the areas of your life where you feel most stuck. If you feel stuck financially, what lies are you telling yourself? Are you saying you can't earn more because opportunities are limited, when the truth is you've stopped building skill? Are you saying you can't save because everything is expensive, when the truth is you spend on things that give you nothing in return? If you feel stuck in relationships, are you telling yourself that others are the problem, when the truth is you've refused to work on yourself? These lies aren't evil, but they are dangerous. They keep you trapped in the same cycle, hoping for change without ever creating it. Breaking free requires courage. It's not easy to admit you've been lying to yourself. It's not easy to admit you've been choosing comfort over growth. But if you want change, you must do it. And the moment you face the truth, you begin to build a new identity. You stop being the person who avoids responsibility. You become the person who owns it, who sees clearly, who acts boldly. Here's the reality. No one else can pull you out of being stuck. People can encourage you, they can guide you, they can inspire you. But at the end of the day, you're the one making the choices. You're the one who has to stop repeating the same excuses. You're the one who has to call yourself out when you start lying again. Change is not about saying the right words. It's about building the discipline to stop protecting your weakness with excuses. Imagine how your life would shift if from today forward, you told yourself only the truth. Imagine waking up and admitting, if I'm not improving, it's because I'm not putting in the work. Imagine admitting, if I'm not confident, it's because I haven't practiced courage. Imagine admitting, if I'm not free, it's because I haven't taken control. That honesty might sting, but it also unlocks a new level of power. Because once you see the truth, you can never unsee it. And once you accept responsibility, you can never return to being helpless. The mind is good at creating illusion. It will always try to protect you from discomfort by inventing reasons why you can't move forward. But if you want freedom, you need to train your mind to tell you the truth, not lies. And that training begins with awareness. Every time you hear yourself say, I can't, stop and ask, is this true, or is this a story? Every time you think I'll stop later, stop and ask, what is stopping me from starting now? These questions cut through the lies and force you to face reality. The truth is not always pleasant. It's not always what you want to hear, but it's always the path to growth. Lies might keep you comfortable, but they will never move you forward. Honesty may hurt, but it heals. It builds. It transforms. If you're stuck today, it's not because you're cursed or broken. It's because you've been telling yourself the wrong story. Stop lying to yourself about why you feel stuck. Admit the real reasons. Own them. And then make the choices that will move you forward. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. If you've trained yourself to believe lies, you can also train yourself to embrace truth. And once you do that, there is no limit to how far you can go.
Chapter 4. Decide today to reprogram the way you respond. Every person is shaped not only by what happens to them, but by how they respond to what happens. Two people can face the same situation, yet their responses determine two completely different outcomes. One allows the moment to destroy them. The other uses it to grow stronger. The difference is not in the event itself, but in the response. And the truth is, your response is something you can reprogram. You don't have to keep reacting the same way you always have. You don't have to remain trapped in patterns that keep you weak. You can decide today to reprogram the way you respond, and in doing so, you take control of the quality of your life. Most people never think about their responses. They assume their reactions are natural, automatic, and beyond their control. When they get angry, they say, "That's just how I am." When they avoid challenges, they say, "I wasn't made for that." When they shut down in difficult conversations, they believe, "That's just my personality." But the reality is, these are not fixed traits. They are conditioned responses, habits of the mind. And like any habit, they can be retrained. Consider moments when you lose your temper over small things. That's not because life forced you to explode. It's because your mind has been trained to handle frustration that way. Think about the times you procrastinate instead of facing a hard task. That's not because the task is impossible, it's because your response to discomfort has been avoidance. These are learned patterns, and if they were learned, they can be unlearned and replaced with stronger responses. Reprogramming your responses begins with awareness. You have to pay attention to how you usually react in different situations. When something stressful happens, do you complain? When you feel doubt, do you quit? When someone criticizes you, do you get defensive? These are all responses. They may feel automatic, but they are choices you've practiced so many times that they no longer feel like choices. The first step is to notice them. Once you notice, the next step is to interrupt. You need to stop yourself in the moment and ask, is this response helping me or hurting me? For example, if someone disrespects you and your immediate urge is to lash out, stop and ask if anger is actually going to solve the situation or just escalate it. If you feel the urge to give up on a difficult project, stop and ask if quitting will bring you closer to the life you want or further away. By questioning your response, you create space for a different choice. After interruption comes replacement. You don't just stop old responses, you replace them with new ones. Instead of responding to stress with complaining, you can respond with action. Instead of responding to fear with hesitation, you can respond with courage. Instead of responding to criticism with defensiveness, you can respond with curiosity. Each time you make a new choice, you're reprogramming your mind, and the more you repeat it, the stronger the new pattern becomes. This reprogramming doesn't happen overnight, it requires consistency, but the payoff is enormous. Imagine if your natural response to failure was persistence, instead of discouragement. Imagine if your natural response to discomfort was determination instead of avoidance. Imagine if your natural response to pressure was calm instead of panic. Those responses would completely change the way you live, the way you work, and the way you build your future. One of the biggest areas where reprogramming is necessary is how you respond to problems. Many people see problems as walls. They respond with frustration, anger, or hopelessness. But problems are inevitable. You cannot control whether they appear,
but you can control how you respond. If you respond with problem solving instead of complaining, you become stronger. If you respond with patience instead of panic, you think more clearly. Over time, these responses set you apart from those who remain stuck in reaction mode. Another area is how you respond to opportunities. Opportunities often appear in uncomfortable forms: extra work, taking on responsibility, speaking up, learning something new. The untrained response is to hesitate, to step back, to say, "Not me, not now." But if you reprogram yourself to lean into opportunities, you create progress. The person who says yes, who steps forward, who tries, is the person who keeps moving ahead in life. How you respond to failure is also crucial. Failure hurts, but it doesn't destroy you unless you let it. Some respond with shame, some with excuses, some with quitting. But you can train yourself to respond with analysis, with lessons, with resilience. That way, failure becomes a stepping stone instead of a dead end. And the more you practice this, the less fear failure holds over you. The way you respond to people matters just as much. Do you respond with kindness or with hostility? Do you respond with listening or with dismissing? Do you respond with encouragement or with criticism? Your relationships are built on these responses. A single response in a heated moment can either build trust or destroy it. Reprogramming yourself to respond with patience, respect, and clarity strengthens every relationship you have. You also need to pay attention to how you respond internally. When negative thoughts appear, do you feed them or fight them? When self-doubt shows up, do you surrender to it or replace it with action? Your inner responses are just as important as the ones the world sees, because the conversations you have with yourself shape your confidence and your courage. Reprogramming begins with decisions. You must decide today that you will no longer let old responses control you. You must decide that you will not keep repeating reactions that keep you stuck. You must decide that when life tests you, you will respond in a way that builds you instead of breaks you. That decision is not just words. It must be backed by practice. Every day becomes a training ground. Start small. Pick one response you want to change. Maybe you always get defensive when criticized. Decide that from now on, you'll pause, breathe, and listen before speaking. Practice it. Fail at it. Try again. Over time, it becomes your new response. Or maybe you always procrastinate when you feel overwhelmed. Decide that from now on, you'll break the task into one small action and begin immediately. Practice it until it becomes natural. This is how reprogramming works. Not by thinking about it, but by practicing it until it sticks. Every new response you train adds to your identity. Each time you choose calm over anger, you're becoming the kind of person who stays composed under pressure. Each time you choose courage over hesitation, you're becoming the kind of person who acts bold. Each time you choose persistence over quitting, you're becoming the kind of person who finishes what they start. Over time, these responses define you. The key is to stop waiting for the perfect moment to change. There is no perfect moment. The right moment is the one you decide in. That moment can be today. You don't need special conditions. You don't need a perfect plan. You need the decision to reprogram your responses, starting now. Because if you don't, your old patterns will keep running your life. They will keep you stuck in the same cycle of frustration, regret, and missed opportunities. But if you choose to reprogram your responses, you gain freedom. You free yourself from being controlled by emotions, by fears, by past conditioning. You become the one in charge. And once you taste that freedom, you'll never want to go back. You'll realize that your life doesn't have to be dictated by old habits. It can be built by new choices. Today is the chance to take that control. Decide to observe your reactions. Decide to interrupt them when they hold you back. Decide to replace them with better ones. Decide to practice until they become natural. And decide that from this day forward, you will not be trapped by automatic responses. You will be guided by deliberate ones. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. If your past training has created weak responses, then today, you begin retraining. Decide now to reprogram the way you respond, and you will unlock a future built on strength, clarity, and progress.
Chapter 5. Face discomfort daily until it stops controlling your life. Discomfort has been the quiet enemy of human progress for as long as we can remember. Most people live their entire lives running from it, trying to find the easiest path, the softest bed, the least resistance. But what they don't realize is that the very thing they are avoiding is the same thing that could make them strong, capable, and free. Discomfort only controls you when you run from it. When you face it each day, when you expose yourself to it on purpose, it begins to lose its grip over your mind. What once felt unbearable becomes manageable, and what once felt impossible becomes your new normal. The truth is, growth doesn't come from staying comfortable, it comes from training yourself to meet discomfort head-on until it no longer intimidates you. Think about the times you've avoided discomfort in your life. You knew you should start the task, but it felt overwhelming, so you put it off. You knew you needed to have the hard conversation, but you were scared, so you stayed silent. You knew you should exercise, but the thought of pain kept you on the couch. In each of these moments, discomfort made the choice for you. It controlled your action, and when discomfort controls you, you become weaker with every decision. But the opposite is also true. Every time you choose to face discomfort, you expand your strength. When you wake up earlier, even though your body wants to stay in bed, you train your mind to be stronger than your excuses. When you step into the gym even though you feel tired, you teach yourself that fatigue does not own you. When you speak up even though your voice shakes, you show yourself that fear doesn't decide your future. These small acts of facing discomfort build resilience, and resilience is what separates those who move forward from those who stay stuck. The reason discomfort is so powerful is because it lives everywhere. It's in physical effort, in emotional struggle, in financial discipline, in personal growth. You cannot escape it. You either use it to your advantage, or you let it use you. Avoiding it makes life harder in the long run. Facing it makes life more rewarding. The pain of discipline is always less than the pain of regret. Yet so many choose regret simply because they didn't want to feel discomfort in the moment. If you want freedom from being controlled by discomfort, you must deliberately step into it every day. You must build a relationship with it. That means choosing tasks that stretch you instead of only doing what's easy. It means practicing patience when frustration rises. It means sitting with hunger while you wait to eat. It means resisting the urge to quit when things get hard. By doing this repeatedly, you train your nervous system, your emotions, and your thoughts to stay steady in the presence of pressure. Over time, discomfort becomes less frightening because you've built evidence that you can handle it. Most people don't fail because they lack ability. They fail because they lack tolerance for discomfort. They want progress, but not the growing pains that come with it. They want success, but not the sacrifices required. They want confidence, but not the awkwardness of practice. They want freedom, but not the grind of discipline. That's why they stay the same. They let discomfort dictate the limits of their lives. Now imagine the opposite. Imagine training yourself to welcome discomfort daily. Picture what would happen if you woke up every morning and asked yourself, "What uncomfortable thing can I do today that will make me stronger?" Maybe it's a cold shower. Maybe it's starting the project you've been avoiding. Maybe it's having that honest conversation. Maybe it's putting in 2 extra hours of work. Whatever it is, each choice becomes training. And each repetition makes you more immune to the pull of comfort. Soon, what once terrified you becomes ordinary.
And when discomfort loses power over you, life opens up in ways you never thought possible. Think about physical training. The first time you lift weights, your muscles burn and ache. It feels unbearable. But if you keep showing up, your muscles adapt. What was once heavy becomes light. The same rule applies to mental and emotional discomfort. The first time you resist procrastination, it feels like torture. The first time you push through rejection, it feels crushing. But with repetition, you adapt. The weight of discomfort becomes easier to carry, and your ability grows. Facing discomfort daily also rewires your identity. You stop seeing yourself as fragile. You start seeing yourself as capable. Every time you lean into discomfort, you prove to yourself that you're stronger than you believed. And identity is everything. Once you believe you are strong, you act strong. Once you believe you are disciplined, you act disciplined. Once you believe you can handle discomfort, you stop running from challenges. Avoidance, on the other hand, keeps you small. Every time you back away from discomfort, you reinforce the idea that you can't handle it. Over time, this belief shrinks your confidence, shrinks your opportunities, and shrinks your life. That's why people who constantly chase comfort often feel stuck and unsatisfied. Their life becomes smaller because they keep saying no to growth disguised as discomfort. If you want to change this, start today. Don't wait for the perfect conditions. Pick one uncomfortable thing and do it. If you fear speaking, raise your hand in the meeting. If you avoid physical effort, push your body harder than usual. If you dislike being alone, spend time in silence with yourself. These actions may feel unnatural at first, but that's the point. You're training yourself to break free from control. You're teaching yourself that discomfort is not a wall, it's a doorway. As you practice, remind yourself that discomfort is temporary, but the strength it builds is permanent. Pain fades, sweat dries, nerves settle, but the growth remains. Every moment of discomfort you embrace becomes part of your foundation, and when life throws you challenges you didn't expect, you'll be ready because you've been training daily. One of the greatest advantages of facing discomfort regularly is that it reduces fear. Fear thrives in avoidance. When you hide from discomfort, fear grows larger in your mind. But when you face it, fear shrinks. You realize the pain wasn't as bad as you thought. You realize you survived. You realize you survived. You realize you are stronger than the moment. This realization changes everything. Your future depends on how you deal with discomfort. If you keep avoiding it, you'll build a life of regret. If you face it daily, you'll build a life of resilience, strength, and freedom. The choice is always yours, but the longer you delay, the deeper the habit of avoidance grows. That's why the decision must be made now. Don't tell yourself you'll face discomfort someday. Make today the day you start. Decide that each day you will do one thing that challenges you. Decide that you will no longer let comfort rule your decisions. Decide that when discomfort shows up, you won't run. You'll lean in. Over time, this decision will reshape your life. You'll notice your tolerance for stress grows. You'll notice your confidence expands. You'll notice your ability to handle pressure increases. And eventually the discomfort that once controlled you will feel powerless. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. If you've trained yourself to avoid discomfort, that training has been holding you back. But you can start retraining today. You can face discomfort until it loses its power. You can embrace it until it becomes a source of growth instead of fear. And once you do, you'll unlock a version of yourself that is unstoppable.
Chapter 6. Choose discipline over impulse when no one is watching. The real measure of discipline is not what you do when everyone is watching. It's what you choose when nobody sees you. That's where character is built. In the quiet moments when no applause is waiting, no recognition is promised, and no one is keeping score. The world sees the results later, but the foundation is built in private. You have two choices in those moments, discipline or impulse. Discipline leads you toward the life you want. Impulse keeps you stuck in the life you complain about. The gap between the two is where your future is decided. When you're alone, it's easy to cut corners. It's easy to eat the food you promised yourself you wouldn't, because nobody else is there to notice. It's easy to waste time on distractions, because nobody is checking your productivity. It's easy to skip the workout, because there's no one to call you out. These moments may seem small, but they reveal the truth about who you are becoming. If you live by impulse when you're unseen, then discipline will never have a chance to shape your identity. Discipline is not about punishment, it's about alignment. It's the choice to act according to your goals, rather than your feelings. Impulse gives you what feels good now, but discipline gives you what you really want later. Most people trade their future for the comfort of the moment, because it's easier to give in than to hold firm. But easy choices rarely lead to meaningful outcomes. You can't live a powerful life if you're ruled by your impulses. Think about the times you've made promises to yourself. You said you'd wake up early. You said you'd save money. You said you'd stay consistent with your goals. Yet when the moment arrived and nobody was around, impulse whispered, "It's fine to break it just this once." And so you gave in. The problem is, every time you give in, you weaken your trust in yourself. Your brain keeps track. The next time you set a goal, part of you doesn't believe you'll actually follow through, because you've proven to yourself that your words don't hold weight in private. That's why many people struggle with confidence. It's not because they don't have potential, it's because they don't trust themselves. Now think about the times you resisted impulse and chose discipline. You woke up early even though the bed was warm. You saved money even though spending felt tempting. You pushed through the workout even though your body was tired. Nobody applauded, but you felt something important. You felt proud. You felt in control. You felt stronger. That's what discipline builds. It builds self-respect, and self-respect becomes the foundation of every other success in your life. Choosing discipline in private also prepares you for public tests. When you've trained yourself to say no to impulse, when no one is watching, it becomes easier to hold the line when the pressure is higher. For example, if you've trained yourself to work with focus even when you're alone, you won't be easily distracted in an important meeting. If you've trained yourself to eat clean meals on your own, you won't fall apart at a social gathering. If you've trained yourself to study even when it's boring, you'll perform well when the exam comes. Discipline practiced in silence shows its power in public. The problem with impulse is that it feels rewarding in the moment. It gives you pleasure right now, but it comes with hidden costs. The comfort you gain in the moment is nothing compared to the regret that builds later. Skipping discipline today makes tomorrow harder. Breaking your own word in private makes it nearly impossible to stand strong in public. Impulse robs your future and sells it for pocket change. Discipline, on the other hand, asks you to pay now so you can enjoy the reward later. And that reward is always worth it. The key is to become aware of the private moments when decisions matter most. Late at night when you're tired and you tell yourself one more episode won't hurt, that's a test. Early in the morning when the alarm rings and you think of snoozing, that's a test. During the day when you should be working but your phone is in your hand, that's a test. These are the moments that reveal whether you are training yourself for strength or for weakness. They don't seem significant, but they add up. They are the bricks that build your character. Choosing discipline over impulse requires preparation. You can't expect to win the battle in the moment if you haven't trained yourself beforehand. You need systems, routines, and reminders that keep you on track. You need to plan your day, so your goals are clear, instead of leaving everything up to willpower. You need to build an environment that supports discipline, removing temptations, setting up accountability, and structuring your time. The more you prepare, the easier it becomes to win in private. But at the heart of it, discipline is about values. You must decide what matters most to you. Do you value long-term growth more than temporary pleasure? Do you value your word more than your comfort? Do you value the future version of yourself more than the present impulse? Once your values are clear, discipline stops feeling like restriction and starts feeling like alignment with who you want to become. Every person has impulses. You can't erase them. You will always feel tempted to take the easier path, to delay, to indulge. The question is, will you be stronger than your impulses? Discipline doesn't mean you stop having urges. It means you stop letting them control your choices. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is not the absence of impulse, it's the presence of discipline strong enough to resist it. You don't need to master discipline overnight, start small. If you always hit snooze, start by getting up when you said you would. If you always overspend, start by sticking to a budget for 1 week. If you always skip the hard work, start by doing just a little more than you want to. Each victory, no matter how small, builds momentum. And momentum builds identity. Soon you begin to see yourself as someone who chooses discipline. And once that identity takes root, impulse has less and less power over you. When you choose discipline over impulse, you are not just making one decision, you are shaping your entire character. You are saying to yourself, I am a person who does what I said I would do. And that belief changes everything. It affects how you approach challenges, how you treat opportunities, how you see yourself. With each disciplined choice, you become more dependable in your own eyes. And that dependability turns into confidence, respect, and freedom. The test is simple. What do you do when nobody is looking? That's where your life is really decided. Not in front of the crowd, not on the big stage, not when people are clapping for you. It's in the quiet room when only you know whether you're keeping your word. That's the place where true winners are built. So decide today. Decide that you will not let impulse run your life anymore. Decide that when you're faced with a choice in private, you will choose discipline. Decide that your actions will reflect your goals, not your feelings. The more you practice this, the more natural it becomes. And the day will come when discipline isn't a struggle. It's simply who you are. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. If your past training has been impulse, then today you begin retraining with discipline. Every choice is another repetition. Every decision is another step. Build yourself in private, and the world will see the result.
Chapter 7. Train your focus by doing one thing with full attention. Focus is one of the most powerful tools you will ever develop, yet it is one of the rarest qualities today. Most people live scattered. Their mind jumps from one thing to another. They pick up their phone, they scroll, they switch tasks, they start and stop a dozen times a day. They mistake being busy for being effective. But busyness is not the same as progress. Progress comes from focus, and real focus is trained by doing one thing with your full attention until it's done. When you give something your complete attention, you bring the best of yourself to it. Your thoughts align, your energy directs itself, and your work becomes sharper. But when you divide your attention, everything suffers. You finish tasks halfway, you make mistakes, you lose time. The cost of distraction is far greater than most people realize. Every time you break your focus, it takes time to get back on track. And when your life is built on constant distraction,
you never build anything solid. Training your focus begins with a decision. You must decide that you will stop scattering your mind across too many things. You must decide that when you work, you will work. When you read, you will read. When you speak with someone, you will listen fully. This sounds simple, but it's rare. Most people never give anything their full attention. They are always half present, always somewhere else. That's why their results are average. The discipline of focus is built through practice. You won't master it overnight. At first, your mind will resist. You'll feel restless. You'll want to check your phone, switch tasks, escape the discomfort of staying with one thing. That's normal, because your mind has been trained to chase novelty. But just like a muscle, focus strengthens with repetition. Each time you resist distraction and return to the task at hand, you're training yourself. Over time, what once felt impossible becomes natural. One of the greatest mistakes is believing that multitasking makes you more productive. In reality, multitasking destroys efficiency. You may feel busy, but you're actually doing less and doing it poorly. Imagine trying to hold two conversations at once. You can't give either person your full attention. The same is true for your work, your learning, your relationships. When you split your attention, you weaken your impact. Success doesn't come from doing many things halfway. It comes from doing the right things fully. Think about the areas of your life that require focus. Your career demands it. If you want to advance, you need the ability to concentrate deeply, to solve problems, to bring your best effort without constant distraction. Your health demands it. If you want to train your body, you need to be present in your workouts, pushing with intention instead of going through the motions. Your relationships demand it. If you want true connection, you need to put away distractions and give someone the gift of your full presence. Everywhere you look, focus is the difference between mediocrity and excellence. The key to training focus is to start small. Pick one activity and commit to doing it with full attention. Maybe it's writing for 30 minutes without checking your phone. Maybe it's having dinner without looking at a screen. Maybe it's reading a book for an hour without interruption. These simple practices train your brain to stay with one thing. And as you improve, you can expand your capacity for longer and more demanding tasks. Another way to build focus is to simplify your environment. Remove unnecessary distractions. Create spaces where your attention is directed. If your phone is always within reach, you'll be tempted to check it. If your desk is cluttered, your mind will scatter. But if you design your environment with focus in mind, you make discipline easier. Your surroundings matter. They either support your attention or sabotage it. Focus also requires clarity. You need to know what matters most at this moment. If your priorities are unclear, your attention will scatter to whatever feels urgent. That's why setting clear goals each day is crucial. Decide what the one most important task is, and then give it your full attention. Don't let minor tasks steal your energy. Protect your focus for the things that matter. When you train yourself to give one thing full attention, you begin to experience something rare. Most people live on the surface, constantly pulled by distractions. But when you immerse yourself deeply in a task, you produce better work. You learn faster. You understand more clearly. You create results that stand out. Depth is where mastery lives, and mastery only comes through focus. There's also a profound psychological benefit. When you focus fully, you feel more present. You're not scattered across 100 thoughts. You're engaged in the moment. This presence brings satisfaction. It reduces stress. It gives you a sense of control. The mind craves focus, but in a world of noise, it must be trained to achieve it. Pay attention to how you feel after a day of scattered distraction. You're exhausted, yet you accomplished little. Your mind feels restless, your energy drained. Now compare that to a day when you focused fully on a few important things. You may feel tired, but it's the tiredness of progress. You feel satisfied because you know your attention wasn't wasted. That's the difference focus makes. You also need to recognize that focus is not only about time, it's about intensity. It's not how many hours you sit at your desk, but how fully you give yourself to the work in front of you. 1 hour of deep focus can be worth more than 5 hours of scattered effort. That's why some people achieve extraordinary results with the same 24 hours others waste. It's not luck, it's focus. To train focus, you must practice saying no. Every yes you give is a no to something else. If you say yes to endless distractions, you're saying no to the deep work that moves you forward. If you say yes to constant interruptions, you're saying no to the progress that requires your full attention. Focus requires boundaries. It requires the courage to protect your attention from the things that don't matter. Your future depends on your ability to focus. Without it, you will live scattered, always busy but never fulfilled. With it, you can achieve more in less time, build skills faster, and create results that last. But you cannot wait for focus to appear on its own. You must train it daily, by giving one thing your complete attention, and refusing to be pulled away. The question is not whether you can focus. The question is whether you will train yourself. Every time you choose to stay with one thing, you're strengthening that ability. Every time you give in to distraction, you're weakening it. Your habits are training your mind. If you want strength, train for it. If you want focus, practice it. So make the decision today. Train your focus by doing one thing with full attention. Don't allow yourself to live scattered. Don't let distraction steal your potential. Practice presence. Build depth. Protect your attention. And as you do, you'll discover that focus is not just a skill. It's a way of living that elevates everything you do. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. If you've trained distraction, that explains your current results. But you can begin retraining today. Each moment of focus builds strength. Each act of full attention moves you forward. And if you commit to this practice, you will create a life defined not by noise but by clarity, progress, and achievement.
Chapter 8. Cut the excuses that have silently shaped your weakness. Excuses are the most dangerous lies you tell yourself, because they sound reasonable and they give you temporary comfort, yet they slowly weaken your strength and limit your future. They creep in quietly, often without you noticing, and over time they shape your life in ways you never intended. Every time you use an excuse, you let weakness win. You train your mind to believe that you are powerless, that life is happening to you, rather than being directed by you. And when excuses become a habit, they silently build a wall between you and the life you want. Think about the phrases people repeat to themselves. I don't have enough time. I'm not ready yet. I don't know how. The conditions aren't right. These sentences become shields to protect comfort, but what they really do is create limits that should never have been there. Every person has the same hours in the day. Every successful person once started without knowing how. Every champion once began before they felt ready. The difference is not that they had easier conditions, the difference is they cut the excuses and acted anyway. Excuses feel safe because they remove responsibility. If you can blame your lack of progress on not having enough resources or on being too busy, you don't have to face the truth that you've been choosing comfort over growth. But safety is an illusion. The more you lean on excuses, the weaker you become. You stop trusting yourself. You stop expecting more from yourself. And little by little, your excuses build a cage that traps you where you are. If you want to break free, you must cut the excuses completely. You must be ruthless with yourself. No more telling yourself stories about why it can't be done. No more hiding behind the idea that you'll start later. No more giving yourself permission to stop because it feels hard. Every excuse you remove gives you back strength. It gives you back the power to act. It reminds you that you're in control of your choices. Ask yourself how many opportunities you've missed because of excuses.
How many times did you avoid trying because you said, I'll fail anyway? How many times did you stay quiet because you said, I'm not good enough to speak up? How many times did you delay action because you said, it's not the right time? If you're honest, you'll see that the cost of excuses has been far greater than any external obstacle. Your own mind has held you back more than anything else. The reason excuses are so dangerous is because they don't always look like excuses. Sometimes they disguise themselves as logic. You convince yourself that waiting until conditions improve is a smart strategy. You tell yourself that taking the easy route is being practical, but deep down you know the truth. You know you could act, but you choose not to. That's why excuses create weakness. They train you to settle for less than you're capable of. Strength is built when you remove excuses and face reality. If you say you don't have time, face the truth that you waste time on distractions. If you say you don't have money, face the truth that you spend on things you don't need. If you say you don't know how, face the truth that you haven't put effort into learning. These truths may sting, but they set you free. Because once you face reality, you can change it. You can't change what you keep excusing. Cutting excuses also means refusing to lower your standards when things get uncomfortable. Many people start with high energy, but the moment they face obstacles, they let excuses lower the bar. They say, I'll just do it tomorrow. Or it doesn't really matter if I skip once. But that one excuse becomes two, and soon it becomes the norm. Discipline fades, commitment fades, and weakness grows stronger. That's why you must catch excuses the moment they appear, and shut them down before they grow roots. Your strength is not built when life is easy. It's built when you feel the urge to excuse yourself and instead choose responsibility. It's built when you're tired, but you keep going. It's built when fear tells you to stop, but you move forward anyway. Each time you win against excuses, you train resilience. Each time you give in to them, you train weakness. Look back on the moments you're most proud of in your life. I guarantee they didn't come from excuses. They came from moments when you could have said no, but chose yes. When you could have stopped, but kept going. When you could have hidden, but stepped up. Those moments define you. And if you want more of them, you need to stop letting excuses decide for you. It's also important to realize that excuses don't just harm your goals, they harm your self-image. Every time you make an excuse, you send yourself the message that you can't handle the truth. You create the identity of someone who avoids responsibility, and identity shapes everything. If you see yourself as someone who always has a reason not to act, you'll never demand more from yourself. But when you cut excuses, you begin to build the identity of someone who does what they said they would do, and that identity gives you confidence, strength, and respect for yourself. Cutting excuses doesn't mean ignoring real challenges. It doesn't mean pretending everything is easy. Life will always have obstacles, but the difference between an excuse and a reason is action. A reason acknowledges the challenge, but finds a way forward. An excuse uses the challenge as a wall to stop trying. Both face the same difficulty. Only one keeps moving. Every day, you will be tempted to excuse yourself. You'll want to justify why you didn't follow through. You'll want to protect your comfort with words that sound convincing. But this is the exact moment where change happens. The moment you catch yourself about to excuse your way out and instead say, no more, I will act. That is the moment you begin to take control of your life again. Think about what your life would look like if you never made another excuse. If every time you felt tempted, you faced reality and acted anyway, your health would transform because you'd stop excusing poor habits. Your work would advance because you'd stop excusing laziness. Your relationships would improve because you'd stop excusing neglect. Your confidence would skyrocket because you'd stop excusing your own weakness. The only thing standing between you and that life is the decision to cut excuses. Excuses feel small in the moment, but their weight builds silently over time. Years later, people wonder why they're unhappy, why they feel stuck, why they didn't achieve their potential. The answer is in the excuses they repeated for years. Each excuse took away a little bit of strength, a little bit of courage, a little bit of progress. Over time, that adds up to a lifetime of regret, and regret is the heaviest weight a person can carry. You don't need to wait another day to make the change. You don't need to wait until you feel ready. The power is already in your hands. Cut the excuses now. Replace them with action. Replace them with responsibility. Replace them with discipline. It won't be easy at first, because excuses are familiar and comfortable. But comfort is not what you're aiming for. You're aiming for strength, for growth, for the kind of life that makes you proud. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. If you've been training with excuses, your weakness shows it. But today can be the day you stop. Today can be the day you cut the excuses that have silently shaped your weakness and begin building the strength that shapes your future. The decision is yours, and it begins right now.
Chapter 9. Push your limits daily to prove you can handle more. Most people never discover how much they are capable of because they never push themselves far enough to find out. They stay inside the boundaries of what feels safe and familiar. They stop the moment they feel tired. They retreat the moment it feels uncomfortable. And they back down the moment something requires more than they expected. The problem with this approach is simple. If you never push your limits, you never expand them. You convince yourself that what you can do today is all you'll ever be able to do. But the truth is, your limits are not fixed. They stretch each time you challenge them, and they shrink each time you avoid the challenge. That's why you must push your limits daily, not once in a while, not when it's convenient, but every day, because every day is a chance to prove you can handle more than yesterday. Think about the last time you thought you had nothing left to give, yet somehow you found a little more. Maybe it was during a workout where you were ready to quit, but you finished another rep. Maybe it was during a long day at work where you felt drained, yet you completed the task anyway. Maybe it was in a conversation where you wanted to shut down, but you chose to stay engaged. Those moments are proof. Proof that your limits are not as solid as you think. Proof that there is always more in you. Proof that your potential is waiting for you to demand more from yourself. The mistake people make is waiting until life forces them to face limits. They push only when there is no other choice. But if you train yourself to push voluntarily, you grow stronger on your own terms. You don't need to wait for a crisis to find out what you're capable of. You can find out today by testing yourself deliberately. By adding 5 more minutes of effort when you're ready to quit. By saying yes to a challenge you normally avoid. By stretching your patience when frustration rises. Each of these small pushes builds strength. Pushing your limits daily is not about breaking yourself. It's not about reckless exhaustion. It's about showing yourself that you can handle more than you believe. Most of the time, your mind quits long before your body does. Your fear quits long before your ability does. By pushing your limits, you teach your mind that it doesn't get to decide your potential. You do, and the more often you do this, the stronger you become, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. Think about how growth works. A muscle only grows when it is pushed beyond its comfort zone. The fibers break down under stress, then rebuild stronger. The same principle applies to your mindset. If you only operate inside your comfort zone, you never build resilience. You never develop new capacity. You stay exactly the same. But when you push a little further every day, your threshold expands. What once felt difficult becomes manageable. What once seemed impossible becomes achievable. When you avoid pushing your limits, you teach yourself to settle. You accept weakness as your identity. You begin to believe the lie that you are fragile. But when you push yourself daily, you rewrite that belief. You begin to see yourself as capable, as disciplined, as someone who can handle life instead of being crushed by it.
That identity shift is priceless. It affects every part of your life. You carry yourself differently. You take on bigger challenges. You stop fearing pressure because you've already proven you can handle it. Ask yourself, how many opportunities have you turned down because you thought you couldn't handle them? How many times have you played small because you believed your limits were fixed? How many chances have slipped away because you didn't demand more from yourself? Each of those lost opportunities was the cost of staying comfortable, and the only way to stop paying that cost is to start pushing your limits now. One of the simplest ways to push your limits daily is to add just a little more to whatever you're doing. If you plan to do 10 push-ups, do 12. If you plan to read for 20 minutes, read for 30. If you plan to make 5 sales calls, make 6. These small extra efforts may not seem like much in the moment, but they train your mind to go beyond the point where you usually stop. They build the habit of stretching, and habits compound over time. Another way is to deliberately put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Speak up when it feels safer to stay quiet. Take responsibility for something bigger than what you're used to. Try something new that scares you. These experiences push your emotional limit. They teach you to handle discomfort without backing down. They expand your courage, your adaptability, and your resilience. You also need to push your mental limits. Many people stop learning because they believe they're too old, too busy, or not smart enough. But the brain grows when challenged. Pick up books that stretch your thinking. Solve problems that force you to dig deeper. Learn skills that require patience and focus. Each time you do, you expand what your mind can handle. Pushing your limits is not just about achievement, it's about self-respect. Every time you prove you can handle more, you build pride in yourself. You walk taller because you know you didn't stop where it was easy. You trust yourself more because you've seen what you're capable of. Confidence doesn't come from comfort, it comes from pressure. It comes from testing yourself and passing the test. The danger of not pushing your limits is stagnation. You stay in the same place year after year. You may feel safe, but deep down you know you're not growing. And when you're not growing, you're slowly declining. Life doesn't stay still. Either you are moving forward, or you are falling behind. Pushing your limits daily ensures you are always moving forward, always expanding, always becoming stronger than yesterday. This doesn't mean you need to make massive leaps every day. It means you need to look for opportunities to stretch yourself. Even the smallest stretch matters, because it builds the habit of challenging yourself. Over time, these small pushes accumulate into transformation. You look back months or years later, and realize you are a completely different person, not because of one dramatic moment, but because you chose to push a little further every day. When you wake up each morning, you are faced with a decision. Will you live inside yesterday's limits, or will you expand them? That decision will shape your future. If you stay within the same boundaries, your life will repeat itself. If you push your boundaries, your life will grow. It's that simple. Every day you are either proving your limits or breaking them. Don't wait for motivation to push yourself. Motivation is unreliable. Some days you'll feel inspired, but many days you won't. Discipline is what matters. Discipline says, I will push myself today whether I feel like it or not. And when you live by discipline, you stop being controlled by mood or circumstance. You take charge of your growth. Your future self is waiting for you to push your limits today. The stronger, more capable, more confident version of you doesn't appear by accident. It appears because you demanded more from yourself every single day. That version of you is built in sweat, in discomfort, in persistence. And the sooner you start, the sooner you become that person. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. If you've trained yourself to stop at your limits, then your life reflects that. But you can retrain. You can push further today than you did yesterday. You can prove to yourself that you can handle more. And once you prove it daily, it becomes who you are, a person who refuses to settle, who refuses to stop at average, who lives by expansion and strength. That person is inside you now. It's up to you to bring them out by pushing your limits every single day.
Chapter 10. Build the identity of someone who creates their own future. Your identity is the foundation of everything you do. It shapes how you think, how you act, how you see yourself, and what you believe you deserve. The person you believe yourself to be is the person you show up as every day. If you see yourself as someone powerless, you act powerless. If you see yourself as someone capable, you act capable. That's why if you want to change your future, you cannot only change your habits or your goals. You must build the identity of someone who creates their own future. Most people live in identities that were handed to them by others. They let their family, society, or their past experiences define them. They accept labels such as average, lazy, not smart enough, or unlucky. Without realizing it, they carry those labels into every choice they make. If you see yourself as lazy, you'll avoid work even when you're capable of doing it. If you see yourself as unlucky, you'll ignore opportunities even when they are right in front of you. Identity becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's why building a new identity is not optional, it's necessary. Building the identity of someone who creates their own future means taking ownership of who you are becoming. It means no longer being defined by your past mistakes or your old limitations. It means deciding, I am the kind of person who takes action. I am the kind of person who follows through. I am the kind of person who builds instead of waiting. This decision is not about pretending. It's about training. You train your identity the same way you train a skill through repetition and consistency. Every action you take is a vote for the identity you are building. When you wake up early, you cast a vote for being disciplined. When you choose to read instead of scrolling, you cast a vote for being a learner. When you finish a project you didn't want to do, you cast a vote for being reliable. One action will not build your identity, but repeated actions create undeniable evidence. Over time you start to see yourself differently. Not because you wish it, but because you've proven it. The key is to be intentional about the identity you're building. Ask yourself, who do I want to become? Then align your actions with that answer. If you want to be a leader, practice leadership in small ways daily. If you want to be someone who lives with discipline, keep promises to yourself consistently. If you want to be someone who creates wealth, act like a builder of wealth in your decision. Your future is not created by vague hopes. It's created by an identity backed up with evidence. One of the greatest shifts happens when you stop saying, I want to achieve this, and start saying, I am the kind of person who achieves this. That change in language matters. It's the difference between chasing something and becoming someone. For example, instead of saying, I want to get in shape, say, I am the type of person who takes care of my body. Instead of saying, I want to be successful, say, I am the type of person who creates opportunities. Words shape identity, and identity shapes behavior. Of course, building a new identity is not easy, because your old one will fight back. Your old patterns will try to pull you back into the comfort of who you used to be. That's why discipline is required, not just to do the work, but to hold on to the identity you are building. You need to remind yourself daily, this is who I am now, even before the results show up. Results will follow, but only if you stay consistent long enough to prove the identity true. When you build the identity of someone who creates their own future, you stop waiting for outside permission. You stop waiting for someone to open a door for you. You stop waiting for luck. You realize that your choices, your habits, and your mindset are what create the opportunities you're seeking. You take responsibility for your education, your skills, your health, your finances, and your relationships. You understand that nothing changes until you decide to change it.
Identity also affects how you handle setbacks. If you see yourself as a victim, every obstacle confirms your belief that life is unfair. If you see yourself as a creator of your future, setbacks become challenges to overcome, lessons to learn, and opportunities to grow. The same event can destroy one person and strengthen another, depending on the identity they bring to it. That's why this shift is so powerful. It changes how you interpret everything that happens to you. You need to practice acting from your chosen identity daily, even in the smallest decision. If you're building the identity of someone disciplined, act disciplined when nobody's around. If you're building the identity of someone courageous, take action even when you're nervous. If you're building the identity of someone successful, manage your time like it matters. These daily reinforcements create consistency. And consistency builds belief. The mistake many people make is trying to create a new future without changing who they are. They chase goals but they hold on to the same old identity. They try to make more money, while still seeing themselves as careless with money. They try to build relationships, while still seeing themselves as unworthy. They try to live healthier, while still identifying as someone who can't resist bad habits. And eventually, they sabotage themselves because their actions will always match their identity. That's why transformation doesn't last unless identity changes with it. If you want to break free, start seeing yourself as the architect of your own life. Stop saying, "That's just how I am." That sentence kills growth. You are not fixed. You are not finished. You are in training. Every day is shaping you into someone new. The question is, are you shaping you into someone new? The question is, are you shaping yourself intentionally, or are you letting old habits shape you by default? Building the identity of someone who creates their own future also requires you to raise your standards. You cannot accept excuses from yourself anymore. You cannot tolerate laziness, distraction, or neglect of your goals. The person you are building does not live by weakness. They live by discipline, responsibility, and vision. Every time you slip back into old patterns, you must catch yourself and realign. This constant adjustment is how you stay on track. Look around at the people you admire most. Their results are impressive, but what really makes them stand out is who they became along the way. They didn't just achieve goals, they built identities. They became disciplined, resilient, and intentional. They didn't wait for the future to arrive, they created it by showing up as builders of their own lives, and you can do the same. Your life today is evidence of your past identity. If you don't like the evidence, stop reinforcing the old self. Start acting as the person you want to become. Don't wait for a new year. Don't wait for a new season. Don't wait for a miracle. Begin now. Say to yourself, "I am the kind of person who creates my future," and prove it with every action you take. As you continue this practice, something incredible happens. Your future no longer feels like a distant dream. It feels like a natural result of who you are becoming. You stop wondering if success will come, and start knowing it will, because you are building the identity of someone who makes it happen. That kind of certainty is life-changing. It removes doubt and replaces it with conviction. You trained for this life whether you meant to or not. If your past identity trained weakness, excuses, or passivity, that explains where you are today. But today is not the end. Today is a new beginning. You can retrain yourself. You can build the identity of someone who creates their own future. And once you do, nothing can stop you. Because you'll no longer be waiting for change. You'll be the one creating it.